across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome back to the Free Zone. I have to thank you all so much for showing me the graciousness, the kindness, in all the letters and messages that you sent me, allowing me to go and find my nature nurture. This is so necessary for all of us. It's necessary for the world, and it's necessary for us to understand the magical and psychological implications of what is going on planet Earth, how to escape these masters, and how to quit chasing the villain. I began Rainbow back in the day. Back in 91, 92, somewhere around there, I was brought to a regional gathering in Ocala, Florida, while going to college. The moment I walked into those woods and I saw the tribal village, I saw the fires off in the distance, the drums playing in the ambient noise just all around, I knew I had found home. Instantly, I knew, oh my God, these people actually exist. I'm not alone on planet Earth. And often that's the message I receive from people that listen to this program. Like, thank you so much, Freeman. I now know I am not alone on this planet. I think I felt that the first time when I walked into that regional gathering. Now, regional gatherings for the Rainbow Family of Living Light. This Rainbow Family of Living Light, as far as I know, began as a protest to stand between the federal government and our national lands. So, as the government grew and started to take over, lands that were granted to us through the Constitution as national lands were turned into federal parks. And the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, started standing in between anyone that wanted to use these as their national heritage. So as far as I understand, in 72, the Rainbow was formed as basically a protest against taking these lands, saying these are ours, showing our very sovereignty. And that was the goal, that sense of sovereignty. When I came into the gathering, I was not of that mindset at all. Understand, the World Wide Web was not as it is, if it even existed. I guess it kind of did at that time, but certainly it wasn't much better than AOL chat rooms. It's amazing to grow up with this transition, and we're going to get into that as we discuss a little more of what's coming. But let's stick to what was, because this primitive nature instantly soothed my soul. Going back to the very basics, recognizing that life begins in the kitchen. That all expeditions, all activities, everything that you can think begins from the kitchen. Begins with the food of the people and the sharing. Once you have the food, the security, the shelter, the water, everything else just flows. And there's a magical flow through humanity that is being usurped with the concepts of social networking and eventually AI and the cloud, as it usurps our own natural talents of synchronicity, of divine coincidence that guides us into our existence and brings us to life. As any hummingbird builds a hummingbird nest, so too would the human, left to his own devices. Now, learning our ancient past and understanding where and how this whole system got disrupted is something that we've chased and will continue to chase on the Free Zone. Next week, as a matter of fact. But for now, I want to stick with this concept of the primitive. It mattered. It really mattered. It changed me. It changed my life. It changed everything the way I saw life and the way I saw humanity. Now, to compare and contrast, let's just say you walk into a Rainbow gathering And technically, the only rules are you must have a belly button. Not really a rule. You could come in without a belly button, I'm sure. No money and no alcohol. Of course, both of these things exist as well, but not in the same way. So money is given. It's given to a central location that, you know, then sends supplies to all of the different kitchens that supply everyone else. Works. Works go. And rainbow brings money. Now, people think that they need a specific police force. Rainbow has its own incident crisis task force, the ICT. So there are officers that are imported to the gathering every year. I've met them. Some of them are so excited to be having t-shirts made up for Rainbow and saying, this is my fourth gathering, and being very excited about it. But then there's the others, because we could be classified technically as terrorist organization, right? Standing in between the federal government, taking the national lands, and therefore your own sovereignty. So there is a federal task force attached, and so there is that dark side to this beautiful rainbow. On the other end, people would compare it to, say, a Grateful Dead head. And there is no comparison there. As a matter of fact, there's kind of a war. And there's a little more melding now. And honestly, I've seen the changes in Rainbow as the Dead influence has come in. Rainbow has morphed over the years. I mean, I've been going since 1991. And I'll tell you what, I have quit every job to go. If they won't let me go, I'm going. There's nothing that can stop me. Except for not wanting to go. And there's certain years you don't want to go. This year may have been one of those years. It certainly was one of the smallest gatherings that I had seen in a long time. But we manifest. And when you have a strong chi and you start to understand your own powers, or even if you don't, the best thing to do is to recognize that you have manifested the incident that you're standing in. And as we discuss some of the crazy synchronicities that happened this year, you begin to wonder, what would happen if you were always at the right place at the right time? Is that what's going on? For me, myself, I don't know. How would you know? Except for that you just keep going and everything keeps going and it keeps going perfectly and you're wondering why. No plan, no scheme, no design. Just always at the right place at the right time. Is it possible? I've seen magical things at gatherings. The early gatherings were truly primitive, and the regional gatherings even more so. Because at a regional gathering, you're going to get anywhere from 300 to 1,000 tops. I don't think 1,000 would even happen. People, that is, gathering together in the National Forest. Now, the regionals happen every month all throughout the year. Ocala, I know, is in February. And many of the gutter punks are heading their way down to Ocala. And, you know, bad things happen. Sometimes it's a gutter punk party. You know, I'm not telling you that rainbow is some glistening light in the darkness that will shine and bring hope to humanity. It's not. All right. Early days, more primitive, a little more care, a little more nurture, a little more understanding. But regionals are different than the nationals. Nationals happen once a year. It's technically the 1st to the 7th of July. And this is where a near town forms in the National Forest. This year, I would almost call it a neighborhood. It was so small. No teepee village, no real main township going on. It was very small. I keep wanting to tell you a story that happened at my first gathering, and I keep skipping over to these tangent thoughts. As I was saying, I've seen magic happen at the gathering. On one layer of this, this might just be understanding our own potential of mind, but this was one of the first things that happened to me at a rainbow gathering. I was sitting there as a bonfire was formed. It was about 4, 5, 6 feet tall. Drummers were sitting around it, getting things going. And I was just starting to settle into this strange new environment. Suddenly, I notice a girl standing, dancing on top of this 6-foot bonfire. My brain's calculating this and saying, not possible. What is going on? As I watch her just stand there dancing, chanting. I was looking her in the eye and I saw the moment of recognition when she realized she was dancing on top of a 6-foot bonfire and this was not a good thing. And that moment of recognition, that moment of realization, she stumbled and rolled down the fire. Now I grabbed my lantern and I ran to what's called calm. That's the medics of the gathering with this girl being carried over. I was just providing light. And she's chanting over and over again this sentence that I can't recall, but was somewhat normal in words, but not in its syntax. It was very, very just unnerving. And she just kept chanting it. I could see now that she had burns on her arms and legs, but I don't remember her feet being burnt at all. The whole time she stood there and not recognizing that she was standing on a fire, I'm not certain she got hurt at all. It could have been that one moment when I saw the recognition in her eye. Maybe even I caused it. Maybe I, because we were eye to eye at that second. I don't know, but maybe she saw the look on my face as I was trying to calculate how this was occurring, and she then came to realization. She was okay. She was on some type of hallucinogenic trip, don't know. But that was an amazing moment, one that I will never forget. And I'll always think of the power of our minds and how we can control reality. So this is, of course, the biggest game out there, the one thing that they don't want you to figure out. The synchronistic divine aspect of life. AI, social networking, Yelp are all usurpations of that natural power that we have of finding the right place at the right time. I did it for years. We had no World Wide Web. We had no Yelp. I was in my van crossing this country, ending up right where I needed to be every time, not having a friggin' clue as to where I was going. So this year's gathering definitely brought in more of the magical, helped re-inspire and reinvigorate that synchronistic chord within me as I somewhat have gone through, you know, the trials and tribulations of becoming a middle-aged man. 51, guys. Yeah. I have my birthday at the gathering every year. You see, I don't really celebrate it, as it were, because nobody there actually knows it's my birthday. And I'd be lucky if I knew what day of the week it was while I'm there. But it's always there. So generally on my birthday, I'm hauling some load of stuff up and down a mountain 5 miles. Yeah, that's what I was doing my birthday this year. Because they didn't want the gathering. Georgia, Florida, where I grew up, they are the original police states. We had cameras, we had men in masks, we had just all that. You know, children in high school knew all of the judges by name. The motto, of course, there was come to Florida on vacation, wind up on probation, and get flown back on a violation. Just couldn't fit it on the license plates. So it says Sunshine State instead. That's the truth, folks. So Florida and Georgia, well, they're well known for their scary tactics in police forcing. And I've grown up through that. And I understand why this was probably the smallest gathering I'd ever been in the national gatherings. Because who wants to go to Georgia? Certainly none of the Westerners, and especially people in the legal states, are not going to come to Georgia. So it was small. But what happened with their police force, since it was small, was they were rampant. And these guys came rushing in on us, chasing us down. hounding our butts, and any time we tried to slow to ask someone for directions, they honked and turned on their sirens and would not give us a moment of peace, not 5 seconds to find out where we were going. And they darn well knew we were going the wrong way, and they stayed right on our butts and would not let us turn around. You know, it's a single-lane mountain road. It's not easy to turn around, especially in a truck. So they chased us around, they hounded us, they pulled me over a couple of times, just told me to have a good gathering, didn't bother me at all. It turned out my license plate had fallen off, and so I was kind of the front runner there. So we made it, right? But not without hassle, not without feeling very, very non-sovereign, not without feeling like we were under the thumb. We were escaping this. We were having to run, find a hiding place so that we could come in and find the peace inside. So as we rolled up to the main gate and people are dropping off their supplies, we had these Hornet police officers honking at our butts, and we didn't stop to drop our stuff off. We just couldn't. I mean, it was so much aggression, so much just franticness that, you know, I wasn't going to just like get out and start unloading. So we decided to drive to the parking lot. Well, it turns out that the police officers had deemed it time to saw down some trees and disallow this particular group of people to use the roads that the locals use every day. They blocked off the roads, sawing down trees, and forcing the parking lot to be 5 miles up a mountain. So this meant everything you had in your car, you had to bring down. A 5 mile hike down one side of the mountain and up another. And then return for your next trip. It took all day. It took 3 days, right? And here's the thing. There was a road. Could have driven right to the campsite. Dropped everything off and gone and parked. Could have had a fully functioning gourmet kitchen in the woods, which we carried to the woods but could not use, couldn't bring in, just wouldn't have been worth it. By the time we got all the equipment in, the gathering would have been over. We did our best. We built a kitchen, served fine coffee, treats, breakfast, for free, of course. But yet, we're completely hassled the entire time. They had troops of officers rolling through the gathering in trucks with 6 to 12 in the back of the trucks and 6 or 7 different trucks all at once just rolling through for no apparent reason whatsoever. The only person that we had heard that had gotten arrested was an old man that was bathing in the creek. Which brings me to the beginning of our synchronistic path on Rainbow 2018, the Georgia gathering. Because as I walked into this gathering with my friends, a strange young man came walking up in an orange robe. He didn't look like he would be the type that would be wearing an orange robe. And he says, "Can you see my balls?" We're like, no, can't see your balls, man. He's like, "What if I do this?" And he starts putting himself in different positions to make sure that his robe were not revealing his testicles. No, can't see your balls, man. You're good, really. "Freeman?" "Yeah, that's me." "No, you're Freeman?" Yeah. I am, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm more famous. Well, all right. Okay. According to this character, whose name turned out to be Harry Balls, I am the most famous person on the internet. This man in his orange robes came to me, bowed, and he began to well up with tears and tell me how much I had done for him, how much I had changed his life, and how all of what had happened to him was because of me. And I don't know exactly how to respond. I don't know how people respond to situations like this. You know, I don't know how many people are in such a situation, because I certainly, I want to help, and I want you guys to get this message, and I know this is the power we need to understand, and I just don't realize the effects of what I'm saying has on you until I get your letters, until I get the hairy balls at my feet. Those are rainbow stories, folks. They have strange names and strange things. I could tell you about last year as I was saved by a fairy and rescued by a giant. And it's true. While helping the fair maiden with a shitter. Anyway. Rainbow stories. One time at Rainbow. So here was Harry Balls. Someone I'd never met, but obviously had affected. Bowing to me and I graciously accepting this. And he says, I'm your servant, man, whatever. Here, give me your stuff. He takes my backpack right off my back, grabs my wheelbarrow full of, or my wagon full of gear, and just starts running up the mountain. We hadn't even picked a campsite yet or anything, and we didn't know where we were going, and we had already walked a good 2.5 miles just to get to the gathering. Now we had another, who knows how many miles, to find a place to camp. So the early part of the gathering was more marsh, more wet, more mosquitoes, all that kind of stuff. You know, you need to plan your spot well, but this gathering was kind of a mess, and was all on one line, and you had to just go up and up and up, and then hopefully find some place up that would be level enough for you to not roll to the bottom of your tent every night. So we found a spot. Didn't know if it was going to be the spot, but it seemed to work, so we planted our stuff down, and it was another couple of miles into the woods. Harry Balls was the only person that knew we were there. We had just planted our flag, literally, and he took off. Now, it turned out Harry Balls was an epic genius, and I hope you're out there listening right now, Harry, man. And I want you to know that you impacted me greatly, that you were an amazing person. You are an amazing person. Crazy, but amazing. You are a genius. And I want to see you do more. I want you to express yourself more. Don't ever change, Harry. But, you know, calm down a little. You know, find that inner peace to channel that genius out. Now, that's why I do run Freeman's Home for Wayward Genius. You know, I take these geniuses in. We don't function in society at all. And I give Grant that space to express the genius. And that's, you know, that's my contribution to what I can do, as long other than trying to express this to a greater audience so that it's not all just me. There's, you know, genii being helped all over this place. So, Harry, yes, you were amazing, you know, guitarist and poet and character. I loved it. But Harry was the only person that knew where we were at that moment. We had just arrived, and there were friends who were looking for us. Well, Harry was very distraught because the man who had been caught in the creek bathing was his guru, the one who had given him the orange robes. And now his guru was gone and taken away, and he's not sure what was going to happen. Now, after 12 years of gathering, I've seen many a hippie be taken away. And so I assured Harry that his guru would be returned very shortly on his own, having to hitchhike back from the police station that they just left him at, but he would return because that's the way it always went. So Harry calmed, but he was still kind of unnerved, and, you know, he didn't have a ride anymore. He didn't, you know, the gathering had just begun, but, you know, he had lost his anchor, if you will. So he went to the car to meditate, and he sat and he was feeling the feeling, trying to see where he needed to be. And his psyche told him to go to Nick at Night. And Nick at Night are the people that bum cigarettes so that you don't have to. They go around and they gather cigarettes, tobacco, and everything from necessary for that from everyone around the gathering, and they give them away all day and night long. Harry, my friends who don't smoke but were just showing up at the gathering trying to find me found themselves drawn to Nick at night. They thought it was strange because they don't smoke, but they wanted to start to figure out. Now imagine you're walking into a national forest where there are kitchens for miles and tents for miles, and you want to find one person in 5,000. How do you do it? There's no telecommunications. There's no maps. There's no even knowing where they were. And that was the challenge that each of the people had that wanted to find me. So my friends had shown up. They knew I was there. I knew they were coming, but I didn't know how to tell them where I would be. I couldn't leave a message at info. It was raining and everything was a mess, and I just knew that they would find their way. So meanwhile, we were doing another 10-mile hike up and down a mountain with all of our gear. They showed up at Nick at night, and suddenly Harry Balls shows up. And he says to someone next to my friends, "Man, I just ran into Freeman. I just helped him set up his camp." And my friends had just walked in to find out where Freeman had set up their camp. Now, this may seem minute, but it's not. It's the key, the essence to everything. It's sovereignty. It's the true freedom of humanity. It's that moment that would define a new existence for humanity if we could just believe in it. That moment, they instantly were teleported from lost to found, and all of a sudden they were brought straight to where they were supposed to be. Next, there was another trying to find their way, hoping to find my other friends and myself, and I mean, I don't even know if you can describe these situations. The short version is that the person with the person trying to find me was friends of the person that was friends with me. They didn't know this. They didn't know who they were talking to. They just was the first person they ran into was the person that was with me. And then it turned out that the person who was the friend of the person that knew the person that was with me was friends with the son of the person that they just met. And they didn't know it. It's just too crazy to define, guys. It's just, you know, I don't think you would really get it if I just described it how it happened. But it's next to impossible. And then it happened again. Watson Atkinson. You guys might remember him from the Flat Earth show. Famous tattoo artist and, you know, flat earther. Looking for me as well. Runs into that same friend. Doesn't know he's my friend. Gets into a conversation with him and then sees the friend that is my friend that gave him, he tattooed. The guy who made the molecular t-shirts was suddenly wrapped up. And then we realized, wait, we would have met Watson anyway, right? Like, because he wasn't there meeting us. He was meeting a person he didn't know who was actually connected to us. Bob. I know you're out there. Bob's my number one fan. Bob is my, he's, Bob, you know? And Bob has been there since I began this thing. Just silently in the background, then projecting himself into friendship, and now family, you know? And Bob was like an apex for so many of these synchronicities, and he had no idea. And he was the motivation behind the whole thing. He was the one that really got me to want to get up and go to this gathering and pull it all together and build something and have an awesome, amazing situation out there. And Bob turned out to be the focal point for so many of the recurring themes, and Harry Balls was the other one of just bringing everybody together. So again and again and again and again, I have more listed here of how everybody just was at the right place at the right time. And this is something of the miraculous that you can only experience in these type of altered situations, altered states. of consciousness. Now we're dealing with synthetic telepathy, AI, killer robots, editing the genome, cloning, chimera. What a world. The false paradigm inside of social networking. The design in our minds is leading us completely away from anything that would give us a sense of sovereignty. The best we have is bitching at somebody on Twitter. Are you left or are you right? Neither. AI seeks to usurp this. When people came to me at the gathering, I tell you, I can't ever escape being Freeman, so, everywhere I go, somebody asks me what I feel and what my opinion is, and they say, what's next? And all I could say is, welcome to the cloud. As we go into this AI mind cloud, move into this augmented reality, let me tell you folks, all those ideas of sovereignty, all those ideas of being in the synchronistic right divine moment will be out the window. It will be completely usurped. It's barely there now, you know? Because for this synchronistic divine expression to occur, it requires human to human contact, interaction. It requires expressing yourself and leaving your comfort cycles. Trying something new, an altered state, an altered perspective, an altered way of existence that will then lead you to something new, something you had no idea even existed. That's how I ended up here. I would have never done this. I would have never known. I would have never thought of it. But we can see this cloud coming, dark as it is. And we can see the fight and flight within everyone as they express it on this bathroom wall we call the World Wide Web. This false paradigm, the false narrative of chasing the villain. My goal has always been to lead away from that very mindset and towards what we want. Towards community, towards synchronicity, towards unity and sovereignty. The moment somebody starts screaming for justice, you should run for your lives. Coincidentally, that was Bob. He was telling me how the bliss of the gathering had carried forward into his, he lives in Washington, D.C., and therefore this crazy energy about him and how the bliss of the gathering had remained and therefore adjusted the people that he ran into while he had returned home. And this is very true. You carry this energy and maybe even being in connection with this national forest and, you know, the root system and how everything goes connected through there, maybe, and I already know this is true, the telepathy actually transmits through all of this. I have absolutely, without question, sent messages to friends outside in the real world from the gathering that were received and told back to me when I returned. So I know that happens. Inside the gathering, things are far more psychic all the time. I mean, I like these stories of synchronicity I'm telling you. At other times, you just simply know that you need to go somewhere. You got to be at this right place at this right time. You may not even know where that is, but you have that feeling and you go and you find it and you didn't know it was until it is. So that type of magic is what is being disrupted by the system that we exist in and the false paradigm and synthetic telepathy. And when I got Isaac Bonowitz on the Freeman Perspective, back in 2005. Poor Isaac. I mean, you know, he is dead now, so rest in peace, Isaac. But I may have gotten like nearly, if not the last interview of Isaac Bonowitz. Now, Isaac Bonowitz was the only man to ever earn a degree in magic in a university. He defined, described, and designed a thesis for the concepts of magic and especially telepathy. Proved the thesis and received the degree from Berkeley. It was even stamped by Ronald Reagan. Isaac Bonowitz came on my show, and it happened to be chemtrail month for the Freeman Perspective. And so I wanted to ask him a few of these questions, which he did not want to answer. He had prompted me before we went on air to not bring up chemtrails, but I did. You know, that's the way I am. Probably the reason Alex Jones will never speak to me again. He tell me what not to do, I'll probably do it. I can't. I need a little Discordian in me. What are you going to do, Hail Eris? You know, what am I going to do? It's in me. So I got Bonowitz on, and I started discussing this synthetic telepathy that he had described in his book, Real Magic, which was the book of his thesis for University of Berkeley. And it described a machine that had a massive antenna transmitter, this calculation device, and a way of transmitting and receiving this signal of magic, of telepathy. And it was HARP. You know, it was an ionospheric heater. Of course, at that time, when he wrote the book, there was no such thing as HARP. This was 20 years or more before HARP. There weren't ionospheric heaters around the globe like Sura and ISCAT. Yet he was describing a machine that would perform synthetic telepathy. So I asked him about this, and I recommend you go back to the early Freeman Perspective shows and watch the Isaac Bonowitz show as I try to ask him about this part of his thesis, giving him the fact that it was on page 66, and trying to get him to admit that this device might exist in the HARP system. And he wasn't having it, man. I don't know if this guy knew what I was leading towards or was scared to discuss it or just wasn't his cup of tea, but he acted like he didn't know what I was talking about. And I'm like, well, it's right here in your book. And he's like, oh, a long time ago. And it's really bizarre. I highly recommend checking out Isaac Bonowitz on the Freeman Perspective as we get into the ideas of synthetic telepathy. Because what if there is a device like HARP or any of these other ionospheric heaters or antenna arrays that all around the globe that can transmit, you know, frequencies of depression? How about a suicide frequency? As we start to witness all of this despair and all of these celebrity suicides occurring and the bizarre nature of the being hung on a doorknob, like, that keeps recurring. I remember Robin Williams. Of course, we go back to David Carradine, go back to Michael Hutchence, go to Chester, right? yeah. And now Anthony Bourdain. Is this the new Colombian necktie? You know, that whole idea of a Colombian necktie, of having your throat cut and your tongue pulled out, that's a Masonic ritual. You know, that's your third degree, where you swear the oath that you will bind yourself under no less penalty than to cut your throat out and pull your tongue out by its roots and bury it in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, all of that. Well, the first degree, you're coming in a cable tow, a noose around your neck while blindfolded at knife point. So is this another coded signal? Suicide. I mean, come on. Let's look at our false paradigm for a minute. What we got right now is like a war between Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, right? And they're battling over, was Bourdain a suicide or not? And neither of them know. But yet, now we have two camps of opinion. And everybody's choosing one side or the other. Instead of really investigating this concept of what it could happen with Anthony Bourdain. I mean, certainly we got Chuck Barris of The Gong Show, who also hosted The Newlywed Show and many others, who was using, according to his book, A Dangerous Mind, was being used by the CIA as an assassin, sent to parts of the world that were the prizes given to the winners of The Newlywed Show. And Chuck Barris would be sent along with them for an assassination for the CIA. And this was the way they could get an assassin into the country. Oh, guys, I mean, come on. Look at Anthony Bourdain, man. You know, he came up. He's this chef. He's a rock star of chefery. And he has a small show, but then he's given CNN access. Come on, Anderson Cooper, CIA, CNN, CIA, what, you know. And he's suddenly in North Korea, Thailand, China, Russia, Iran, you know. And all the places this drunk ex-drug addict is being sent to ask people about their food and instead getting all sorts of information about their nation and the separation of the people with the government. Certainly, you watch Parts Unknown, and you'll learn two things. The government is always in opposition of the people's best interest, and food could save the world. You see the happiness and joy of the low-budget places that Bourdain goes, and you see how happy everybody is in the streets with grills going and food everywhere, and everybody knows everybody, and there's community and food and happiness and joy, alcohol and celebration, and everybody's seeing everybody. And then you look to America, and what do we got? Hot dogs, hamburgers, sitting in a plastic McDonald's that you hide away at your little cubby hole of a table, and never once will you associate with anyone else eating a burger. Food could save the world, folks. It is, as I started this show with, the heart of every endeavor humanity takes. Because without food, you die, right? Simple as that. Everything, when you get back to the primitive, starts at the kitchen. And food could save the world. Especially food with love in it. But here was poor Bourdain. Was he an assassin for the CIA? Like Chuck Barris claimed to be? Or alleged? I mean, he was prime candidate, folks. Ex-junkie. Certainly got into trouble. Loves to drink. You know, they could have had him over a barrel. And this would depress anyone. If you were a contracted killer, not of your own free will, come on. This would explain the 20 times Bourdain discussed suicide. Live on the show, often mentioned, articles. There's an entire article written on the 20-plus times Bourdain openly mentioned hanging himself in a shower or suicide of some fashion. So I don't hear them discussing this. I hear them battling between who's right and wrong. Is it Joe Rogan? Is it Alex Jones? You know, it's not even about any of the situation that anyone's in. And it's certainly not about the idea that celebrity is lonely. You may think you know that character, but he is not that person. And it probably was hard for him to find people that he could bond with. And then, of course, if you're a Rolling Stone, you gather no moss. And these are a lot of the things that I'm finding I'm dealing with. I mean, I have traveled my entire adult life. I have no network, no close familial ties. I have no loved ones. I have no place where I can go and be with family and friends. Doesn't exist for me. I've traveled just too much. And I would think the same for Bourdain, while fulfilling this show for CNN. So certainly he was sad, lonely, and perhaps in ultimate despair because he was a forced contract of some sort for the CIA. This has to be the case. I'm not saying it's true, but that's what I think. And going on Chuck Barris and his explanation of what they were doing back then with the Gong Show and the Newlywed Show, psh, come on, you know? It would perfectly explain this situation. And of course, then we find at the end that he was battling Harvey Weinstein and the Clintons, calling Bill a gropey. I forgot all the adjectives he threw behind that, but just look into Bourdain, Bill Clinton, and gropey, and you'll find the article that was only published 2 months after his death, as he expressed his dismay for the Clintons and their abuse of women and their flip-flop, you know, on one side, Hillary's taking, allowing a rapist free. On the other side, she's disarming the women that were coming after her husband. It just, these guys make you sick. And, well, anyone that talks about the Clintons, well, ends up suicided. Yeah, you know, this was all the way back to Arkansas, back to MENA. There were already a list of suicides around the Clintons long before Bill ever became president. And if we watch Anna Nicole Britney in Mind Control and you see that clip of Bill Clinton speaking as a six-year-old child, well, we know who wears the pants in the family. But, you know, we're not talking about these Clinton guys because, boy, you end up hanging from a doorknob. The false paradigm comes in as we start to debate opinions of other people who have opinions, and we're getting nowhere with any of that. So is there a force out there, a synthetic telepathic message of despair that we are all dealing with unknowingly, coming through the 5G, coming through our smart meters, coming through our cell phones, our computers, our televisions, our refrigerators, our Roombas, anything connected to the AI mind cloud, right? Is that where it's at? So they have us chasing the villain instead of chasing our bliss. People think that if they were to take down the pedophiles, if we could just get Hillary on something, all the world would be a better place to live and everything would go nicely. And wrong. You know, the moment that we start attacking, the moment we go and seek this justice and start to try and take down the evil powers, we've consented. We are agreeing. We're joining the party. It's the moment we walk away and find the new existence that would spread and express itself in so many other ways that we would find our way out of this. So it's not our goal here. It's not our job here to be seeking the villain, to be trying to seek this justice, because that justice is going to blow up in your face. Let me tell you that. I mean, imagine the Nuremberg trials, imagine the Nazis and all the things we had, the heinous crimes that everybody wanted them taken down for. What happened? They exploded and went into all other designs. And now we have IBM, you know, Telefunken comes out, we get radio. All of a sudden, all these Nazi corporations have splattered themselves across the globe, and we lost complete control of the situation. It didn't end being the point. No, it's simply a new expression of life that will change things. That's it. Not going after these pedophile baby eaters. As much as I want to see them gone, I know the way to them being gone is not a vicious attack. It's got to be nurture. It has to be nurture. If we are going to design a life that we want, we want our children and children's children to be raised in, it's not by taking down the nefarious characters. It's by building up the sovereignty of nurture, that security, that sense of placement, that knowledge that you're okay. And in that, we redesign the world without even trying. So perhaps as those very pedophile elites are out in their bohemian village, out in the bohemian grove, doing their telepathic message through our loving forest, we won't develop a cremation of care, but bring about care itself. We don't need to do an anti-ritual for those bohemian grovers sacrificing baby effigies under a 40-foot stone owl. We need to seek our own divine. We are not opposed, folks. That's not our place. We are seeking the new divine future that exists, and we can find it. And never before has the world been able to communicate this with all of us using this AI mind cloud to get out a message of a sympathetic mind cloud, a mind cloud that exists through the telepathic nature of the human spirit, that doesn't require Wi-Fi, fiber optics, or demonic possession. Because that's where it's all going, and we're going to discuss that a lot more as this show goes on, as we get deeper into the AI mind cloud, the place that humanity is going, the DNA database collection, the genome editing, gene splicing, all the weird places that eugenicists are taking life on planet Earth. It's a mindset. That's where it lies. It's not in the actions. It's in the mind. It's in the heart. It's in the gut. And the more we follow these, the more we allow our true freedom of expression and that sense of sovereignty that you do belong here. You are doing what you should be doing. And we change the planet. Only incidents like going out into these realms of unknown, going off to, say, a rainbow gathering, going off to just traveling abroad, traveling, hoboing it across America, the old road trip, will you ever really experience this type of divine synchronicity and being in the right place at the right time? Because if you're in your cycle, you're never going to get out of your cycle. Your cycle's always going to be what you think it is. But when you throw yourself out into that unknown, your brain has no cycle to form on. And the miraculous is allowed to occur. Otherwise, you stop it every single time. How many times do you tell yourself, if I do that, this will happen? You don't know that, but you just made it happen. Doesn't matter now, you just manifested it. And these are the type of things that you'll learn at something primitive like a rainbow gathering, because it functions more on that level. And you'll know that this is truth that I'm telling you. And you will know by the experience that that is the true life of humanity on planet Earth. I hope you all are following along on my Twitter feed to bring up the social networking, but it is my only way of transmitting messages to you about the news that I find important and the ideas and the thoughts and things that are going on. And of course, you don't have to go to Twitter in order to see my Twitter feed. It is right there on freemantv.com on every post. So if you're listening to this show on freemantv.com, just look to your right there and you'll see Freeman on the Fly. And you'll see that that is my Twitter feed. And I'm telling you guys, you know, you want to follow along, because this is one show that has remained right above the avant-garde. I mean, I'm so far ahead of this parade that people don't know I'm in it. But I'm still here and I'm still going. And honestly, as this Space Force took the stage, and of course, been talking about that for a decade, I would recommend going back, and especially you members. I have given you access to all of the early free zones from 2008, 2008 to 2012, somewhere in there. And in those shows are the development of the Space Force. I covered it heavily. I couldn't do it as well today, you know? The technologies that I was reporting on, the things, the changes that were occurring, the cancellation of the Constellation, the rise of the Ares program, SpaceX's takeover, all of that was covered by me, you know? And I you could learn more about the Space Force from me 8 years ago than you could from any other show at any time at this moment. I guarantee that. Because it was, I know what's going on, you know, in a way I know what to follow, or I don't know that I know that, but I'm always on that tip, and I seem to follow the right things and know where to go with the situation, and I can see the puzzle unfolding, and it ain't good, you know, it's you know, it's everything Orphan Black meets Fringe, if you're a sci-fi fan, meets Battlestar Galactica, you know. It is a world without consequence and ultimate consequence. It is a world of despair and isolation. It is a world of fear and trepidation. It is a world that none of us want to even envision. And it does lie at the beginning of this Space Force. You know, most of the programs I've been following for longevity, let's say, human cloning and longevity, it's not some secret base in Kuwait where, you know, it's probably legal. No, it's on the International Space Station, and you can follow the science. You know, it's open on the website to discuss the fact that there are over 30 stem cell programs going on the International Space Station for the most purpose, admitted purpose, of human longevity. So as we're cracking this code, as we're starting to crack the human genome, the splicing, the cloning, and the stem cells therapies, and coupling that with augmented AI reality, you know, this is, you know, you don't know if these neolutionists are correct that humanity was actually created by God to create these things, because we do, right? I mean, that's the truth about humanity, is that we are creators. I mean, nothing creates like a human. And we create the most amazing things. So it seems to me that that is in our divine makeup, our genetic predisposition to create this AI synthetic reality. It just is, right? I mean, that's where we're going. That's what progress is. That is from monolithic structures to Robonaut 2 on the International Space Station, or the X-37B robotic space plane orbiting the planet, or ionospheric heaters, or, you know, even virtual reality glasses. Humans create. That's what we do. So perhaps all of that is not a negative. Don't know. Sure looks negative, but this is because of the mindset that is behind it, and the mindset that is controlling life on planet Earth. So again, we're back to state of mind. And that's the true key to our puzzle. So tossing out something like going out to a rainbow gathering and getting primitive as a solution to global issues, you know, seems absurd. And yet I know that if enough of you knew of this true divine nature of humanity, that synchronicity that puts you at the right place at the right time at all times, then each of us would know more of our sovereign nature and be able to express that in a greater capacity. And that would grow, that would spread, you know? It comes from this one simple voice. And then I see the results over and over again as I receive the letters of love telling me, you changed my life. You know, I don't know that I'm doing this, right? You got to understand that. I don't know what my soul connection to you does or what effects will happen. And I love when I hear all these wonderful, amazing things and how much you all love me. It blows my mind. And I'm so thankful that I could have this opportunity to do that. Now, they're shutting us all down. You know that, right? It's this could be the last show. You never know. This show hangs on a thread. Of course, every single time I've been cut off, which has been numerous, I don't talk about it. I don't come out here and say, oh, my God, they're out to get me. I don't. You know, it's happened a bunch of times, guys. My website, I wake up that morning, it's gone. You know, and it happens to be the day that my documentary is premiering on HBO and or at Sundance, you know, and suddenly my website's gone. And I jump in both feet and I rebuild that damn thing. And I've done that many times. So I know how much of a thin thread this program is on. And my very lifestyle, my very, you know, everything just hangs by such a thread. It's terrifying at times. I mean, look what has just happened. We just had the great YouTube purge, right? Everybody got banned, deleted, and all of that. And you just lost all your work and all your followers and all the things. And, you know, I was one step away from that purge. I was one strike from being removed from the longest running talk show on YouTube, being deleted due to stupid regulations that didn't even matter, because my YouTube is mirrored by someone I don't know. And of course, the offending videos that I was being struck for were still fine on the mirrored YouTube channel. So it obviously was a personal attack on those of us that have more of an influence, because it wasn't just seeking out those videos, or it would have found those mirrored videos of the same video, right? Red Ice Creations, they just turn off their money. I mean, PayPal just said, nope, sorry, we don't like what you're doing, and turned off their income like a faucet. No explanation, no retaliation, nothing you can do, just sorry. Now, how bizarre is it that this, you know, company started by SpaceX founder Elon Musk, right? The very nefarious character that we're somewhat talking about here. I mean, is he nefarious? All right, we'll get to Elon in some future shows. But, of course, he is the creator of PayPal, which, strangely, is the only real financial format for a website and stores to function on, especially in the capacity of membership programs for, like, this program and Red Ice. You know, the you're stuck with platforms, folks. You're stuck with software that functions within a system, and then you got to stay within the system. So PayPal is integral to the membership system. It just, you know, there's no way around it. And for them to just turn you off. Now imagine they were making a lot of money off of Red Ice. You know? What sort of company just turns off money, income of their own, to say, we don't like what you're doing? Is that right? Is that, you know? Or YouTube, you know, very same thing. How come I was selected to be eradicated from the system? We're on such a fine thread. Another fine guest of this show, Isaac Weishaupt, his YouTube channel just vanished. Denied, suspended. We don't get explanations. There's no phone number to YouTube. And it seems that the best you could do is go in there with an AK-47 like somebody did. And I don't know what kind of weapon she had. What a crazy lady. No, I do not recommend this, folks. That is not at all. She was doing it just for being demonetized. Oh, my God. Do you know how many videos? I had 94 videos demonetized at once, you know? Just all of a sudden, like, hey, did you notice you get this little message? Did you notice your check was smaller? Now, I don't count on that YouTube check. It's just a, you know, it's a bonus thing. It never amounts to much. It's not a big deal. Because I've always run this show broke. I mean, I've never done this show for money until now. And I'm not doing it for money now either, you know. You listen to me or you don't. I'm trying to do my best. That's all I know. But I want to stay on the air, and it costs money to stay on the air. And if I want to get out of the systems that can be just turned off, like YouTube or any of these that are controlled by another, then I have to have complete control. And, of course, it's hundreds of dollars to put the show out a month. I don't know if you know that, but it is, you know, and that way central control is held. But if they can just shut off PayPal, then what, right? My whole world just falls apart. Or if they can, you know, even the YouTube channel, I mean, that's a huge percentage of my listening audience just gone. So we live in this AI mind cloud now where they are certainly testing the kill switch. And so, folks, you know that this is a temporary engagement. I'm so amazed and pleased that I have been able to carry on for 13 years. But it is so hanging by a thread and always has been. But we are diligent, are we not? We do not give up. And I think this is the thing that completely surprised and shocked these psychopathic elites, was the willingness that we had, the devotion that we have to doing this without income, without reward. We just kept doing it, right? Like, screw you, I'll just find another way around it. Do you know how many times I've had to work around? Oh my God, you know? And I'm just like, no, I'm not going to stop, because I feel this is the true purpose, and I can tell by the response that it's working. So bring it on, you know. But I, you know, this is just me letting you know, guys, that these type of shows are hanging by a thread and they are taking us down again and again. As a matter of fact, I was slated to be in Nexus magazine. A fan, one of my number one fans from Germany, had worked diligently on an article about me, and worked on it for weeks, interviewed me, got the questions right, wrote this whole wonderful, amazing article that I never read. And it was slotted to be on page 66 of Nexus magazine in German. I was waiting for the English translation. The day this Nexus magazine was going to publication, nixed. No, sorry, Freeman cannot go out into this world. We will not allow that. Cut from the record, eliminated from the magazine, replaced by some other article, never to be seen. I will get the article, folks, and I will love to read it and share it with all of you. Of course, the place I'll share it is most likely my Twitter feed, so just know that. That's my one form of communication with you. That's the only one I got left, right? I'm banned from Facebook. You know, I'm banned from Coast to Coast. I'm banned from probably InfoWars. You know, Alex never spoke to me again after our last interview. But you know, whatever. That was good. That was really good. And an amazing and part in my life for sure. But, you know, I am banned, blocked, barred in every way, shape, and form all over the place, but they can't stop me. And these articles that get disrupted and moved and hacked. And I mean, I've had others. My article on the Space Force, as a matter of fact, was completely edited to the point of being wrong and then published, you know. So I was pretty upset that my work had been altered so much that everything I had written became a lie. And then it was published in my name. And so I do have the original article on my website. It was called Space Faction or Science Fiction. Science Fiction or Space Faction. Speaking of the Space Force. Because there's a lot to this Space Force. And it really has nothing to do, folks, with anti-gravitic Aurora craft. All right. I know. As soon as I see all of that, it just disturbs me that the puzzle is being so disoriented by this secret space program. The secret space program is not the Space Force. It is not the Space Force. And because everybody is pretty ignorant of what the Space Force is, because this includes ionospheric heaters, this includes ISCAT, this includes transmissions of Doritos commercials to Ursa Major and sending The Day the Earth Stood Still to Alpha Centauri. This includes those things. This includes the CubeSats and all the things I have in the Space War news from the bombing of the moon on forward. And it has nothing to do with anti-gravitic Aurora craft. Nothing. If there is a breakaway civilization, and this coming from a person who has seen a V-shaped anti-gravitic craft in Utah, which, you know, I put on film as best as I could. Well, all right, it's not on film. All you see is black, but I film our reaction to it. Anyway, I've seen one. You know what I mean? So it's not that I deny the potential and the possibility of anti-gravitic giant V-shaped craft flying to Alpha Centauri, but this has nothing to do with what Donald Trump is talking about with the Space Force. Completely different things. So I do highly recommend getting back into those old shows, and more especially the shows I do on other people's programs, where you'll find under the listen, you'll see Freeman appearances. And there, you know, I tend to give more of those details on other people's shows, but the Free Zone on the Oracle years absolutely covered it as it was going live and happening. So you will find everything you want to know about that. So back to the kitchen, right? It's almost a curse when you tell somebody this at this point. I love the kitchen. I love to bring food to people. I love to make wonderful stuff that makes them feel yummy. I believe if we start there, we can gain so much more ground than if we're standing in protest at Occupy whatever, or screaming at the White House or whatever, or standing out even in front of Bohemian Grove doing an anti-ritual. Getting back to the nurture of food and the caretaking of others is the solution to the problem, not chasing the villain. So thank you all so much for sticking with me through all of this, granting me your gracious honor of the time. It means so much, and it says so much about how humanity cares and how far we can go with each other with a sovereign, united community based on love, synchronicity, and food. It could change the world, folks. So, here we go again. Let's start this next season of the Free Zone. I can't wait to get deeper into everything for you, into all the amazing stories that are coming forward. Next week, we really have a great show with Laird Scranton, going to get deep into comparative cosmology and the ideas that have come to take over our minds from these ancient civilizations, even digging into the Dogon. And I know Laird is a frequent fan of the topic synchronicity, so of course we're going to go there. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you subscribers for keeping me going and sticking with me throughout all of this. I hope that you have enjoyed everything I'm doing, and I hope you dig deep into those archives and find these shows, because this show is so far ahead that if you go back 10 years, you're going to find today. And you're going to understand today so much more. So believe me, there is no such thing as an old show on freemantv.com. And members, if you have any issues at all, you know, write me, freeman@freemantv.com. I can fix anything very quickly. And but keep in mind that I am my only employee, so I am tech support, graphic artist, or a writer, studio tech, audio tech, you know, you name it, I do it. And so I'm there for you, and just let me know what you need, and I will be on it. So thank you all so much for tuning in and sticking by me. This is an amazing wild ride that I could have never, ever, ever imagined for myself. And I see us going great places from here. I really do. I really do. I know it seems difficult, but it's going to be so much better that way when the miracle happens and the world changes and we know we did it. So loving you all. And I will see you all next week.